They got a new NAFTA deal last night. We have details. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Just hours ahead of a U.S.-imposed deadline of midnight, the U.S. and Canada managed to change the terms of the North American Free Trade Agreement. U.S. and Mexico had worked out a deal in August, and the U.S. was threatening to move ahead without Canada, which could have upended all the supply chains that crisscross the northern border. So NAFTA is out, and we all have to learn to say the alphabet soup acronym USMCA. Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson focuses on trade and is here with us live. Tracy, what'd they work out?
Well, we know the outlines of this deal, but with something as big and complex as this, details really matter, and it'll take a while to sift through the text of this agreement to really understand what's in it. We do know that Canada will give the U.S., for example, more access to its dairy market. That was a big sticking point.
Mm-hmm.
We know the way the countries handle disputes with each other, that process won't change. That was another big sticking point. The deal will also add stricter rules around auto production. So in order to import a car tariff-free from another NAFTA country, that car will now have to have more of its parts and production occur within the NAFTA countries. There's also a provision about how much of the car has to be produced by workers earning at least $16 an hour. That's an effort to keep all the work from being done by low-wage workers in Mexico.
And Mexico and Canada would not be affected by any car and truck tariffs the U.S. might put in place for the rest of the world in the future?
Yeah, it appears so. And that was something both countries very much wanted. However, Mexico and Canada aren't getting any relief as of yet from tariffs already in place on steel and aluminum.
And next, what's next?
So this clears the way for the countries to sign the deal by November 30th, and that was a big reason for that deadline yesterday, so that Mexico's current president could sign the deal before leaving office. But signing the deal doesn't actually mean it's done, because then the country's legislatures have to vote to approve the deal, and in the U.S., that means Congress has to vote on it, but before that they can do that, the U.S. International Trade Commission has to do this economic assessment, which means we're not going to see a vote until 2019.
All right. Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson, thank you very much. Again, NAFTA becomes the USMCA. Some wags are suggesting it can be sung to the tune of a famous Village People song. That only works if you say it. USMCA, right? Let's do the numbers. Stock market is moving higher, possibly on this NAFTA news. S&P futures are up 0.6%. The Dow future up more than 200 points, plus 0.8%. The interest rate guide is up at 3.09% for the yield on the government's 10-year note. Two years ago, one of our biggest economic stories was the collapse of oil prices and what was essentially a recession in the oil and gas industry and for communities connected directly to it. Now, these days, the price of crude has rebounded from the 30-some dollars a barrel to 70-some dollars a barrel. So for oil, gas, energy companies, life is good but complicated, according to Bob Dudley, CEO of BP, which years ago was known as British Petroleum. Thanks for coming into the New York Bureau, Mr. Dudley.
Thank you, David. Good to be here.
A lot of stuff going on in your bailiwick. U.S. sanctions on Iran are going to kick in as the year goes on. The Islamic State's return in Libya threatening production. Venezuela in economic crisis. We could list others. What's your outlook? I mean, it seems like a lot of instability you're dealing with.
I think it's just what you said. The term would be volatility going forward here. And it's fairly near-term volatility. Some of the things you mentioned are starting to play out in real time now. You've got, I think, from the middle of October into the middle of November, and particularly the Iran sanctions and how they play out will be have a big effect up or down on the oil price right now.
You came to New York for, among other things, a meeting of what's called the Oil and Gas Climate Initiative?
That's right. 4 years ago during Climate Week, companies got together and formed this initiative. It's not just words. It's not just talk. It's we're making real investments. We're up to 10 companies now globally. We've set up a $1 billion fund to put in together on methane technologies, carbon capture, use and storage, energy efficiency. It's a fraction of what all the companies do individually. We had a big breakthrough. Three for the first time because it was really global, China, Middle East, European, South American. And now we have Chevron, ExxonMobil, and Occidental joining the group. 13 companies, really a global initiative now.
The Trump administration is a big fan of oil and gas. It's possible that some listeners would conclude that should be music to your ears as boss of BP. But I wonder if the Trump administration's pro-oil and pro-gas and pro-coal posture really helps you, or does it get in the way of this longer-term planning that you've been working on?
Well, it's a global business. I think oil and gas companies are really turning into energy companies. I mean, that's the future of us. We're involved in electrification of vehicles as well, all the way through the chain. David, people talk about fossil fuels, good, bad. I actually think of it as a giant spectrum from natural gas, different kinds of natural gas. You get into different kinds of oils, and then you get into coal, and there's a whole spectrum of burning coal. And somehow the world is going to have to use this spectrum, and it needs to be on the clean end of the spectrum with reduced emissions. So oil and gas, I know some people want it to go away tomorrow. 2 billion people more on the planet by 2050. 1 billion people today don't have access to electricity. We need to cut the emissions way down below half of what we have today. All forms of energy are going to be needed.
Bob Dudley, CEO of BP. Thank you.
David, thank you very much.
U.S. crude oil futures are up again this morning slightly, $73.37 a barrel. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.